The key thing, I think, is that consumers understand who they need to be directing their advocacy towards. It's not the commission. I think we can all determine at this point that the commission is largely a lost cause based on its public statements of disinformation. And so the remedy should be to write to and contact and mention on social media decision makers within the national administrations, all of whom have the power to block this or to make it significantly less painful for consumers. So that would be where I would direct your advocacy at the moment, based on whatever your national context is. If you're a national or indeed just a resident of an EU member state, you should be pointing this out to your member state government. When we update the tax calculator after the summer, we're trying to put in a tool that will allow you not only to determine what your additional cost is going to be per month, but then to generate messages that you can then send to your elected representatives or your government civil services.
Hello, world. Welcome to the Vaping Unplugged podcast. Everything you need to know about vaping and tobacco harm reduction.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the podcast Vaping Unplugged. As you know, we discuss all about safer nicotine alternatives and all about vaping policies in this podcast. And today we're with Peter Beckett, who is a publisher at Clearing the Air and tobacco harm reduction advocate. Thank you so much, Peter, for making your time today for us.
No problem. It's good to be here again.
It's our pleasure, and we actually have a really important topic to cover today, because as we're recording this podcast, we already know that the European Commission proposed tax hikes on all nicotine products. And for instance, it includes at least 40% on most vaping liquids, and also big taxes on nicotine pouches and heated tobacco. So maybe we could start by like an overview of what it was it exactly in the revised tobacco taxation directive proposal, and what are the key changes that we should be expecting?
Sure. So there are a few different moving parts to this. Let's start with the new rates that will come in. Remember, these are minimum rates. This is what the member states will have to charge. It is entirely possible that they will charge more. But what we know is that the Commission has proposed a number of new taxes on safer products. That starts with e-liquids used in vaping. Those have been split into two categories. Those liquids with a nicotine concentration of less than 15 milligrams per milliliter will be taxed at 12 cents, but those with more, those that are used by heavier smokers to try and quit, will be taxed at 36 cents per milliliter. So that's an extra €3.60 on top of a 10 ml bottle of liquid. Nicotine pouches will get another 50% whacked on top of the price, and heated tobacco products will get another 55% whacked on top of the price. This will mean different things in different EU member states. I won't run through every example now, but if you go to clearingtheair.eu and click the top banner on our website, you'll be taken to a calculator that will allow you to input the cost of the products that you buy today, and it will show you what those will cost were these proposals to be implemented. And remember, that's the best case scenario. It's entirely possible that the country that you live in may choose to charge you more.
Yeah, I definitely recommend to people who are listening to us to go to the Clearing the Air and actually use the tax calculator, because it really showcases how much pricier these products are going to get for the consumers. And talking about the consumer impact, maybe we could you could also talk a little bit what would it mean actually for people who are now using less risky nicotine alternatives to quit smoking. How would it have What kind of implications would it have on consumer side?
The implication is fairly simple. It will cost more to quit smoking, because that's in the end what these products are used for. That's how smokers are transitioning away from cigarettes, and they're making it more expensive. So if you choose to go with a pharmaceutically approved product, not only will you not pay any excise, but you will also get a reduction in tax through a reduced rate of VAT. Whereas if you choose to use the most popular sets of products and the most effective sets of products, as has been proven over the last 15 years of real world experience, you'll be hit not only with the full VAT, but this additional excise and then VAT on top of the excise. So essentially, you'll be paying taxes on top of taxes on top of taxes in order to quit smoking, which the EU, in theory, wants you to do. But what we've seen in wake of this proposal is that the Commission is now saying, or at least the Health Commissioner is saying, that the Commission acknowledges that new nicotine products, by which she means pouches and vapes, have a comparable risk profile to traditional products. Now, that crosses a massive Rubicon, because we go into the area of disinformation and the Commission actively promoting disinformation. You can have all sorts of ill-founded yet honestly held problems with the concept of launching safer nicotine products. But what you can't say is that they are just as harmful as cigarettes, because that has been fundamentally disproven over the last 15 years. Through scientific evidence and through real world experience. Bluntly, these products have been on the market, in the case of vaping products, nearly 20 years now. We would have seen population health effects if that was the case. And yet the Commission is claiming that they exist, or at least the Health Commission is claiming that those exist. We'll need to see whether the Commission chooses to back that up. But if it does, we are really crossing a Rubicon here, and quite a dangerous one.
Yet the EU's goal is to achieve a smoke-free society by 2040, right? So how do you think that's feasible, considering this type of legislation? Probably not only about taxation, but generally we are expecting more and more harsh types of legislative pieces on.
What we've seen over the last number of years is a not particularly subtle change in the language from a smoke-free society to a nicotine-free society, which means we're focusing not necessarily on the harm that is caused by smoking, but on the kind of mild stimulants that people use on a day-to-day basis without any real harm to their health. We are still yet to see a single death caused by a legal regulated electronic cigarette, and we certainly haven't seen any with a nicotine pouch. It moves us away from a policy paradigm based on harm to a policy paradigm based on ideology, and that's not good.
As a next question, I actually also wanted to ask you about illicit trade, because that is always a challenge when stricter regulations or higher taxes apply on products like this. And we see that sometimes, like, people buy these products from another countries where it's cheaper, or they find them on black markets. And do you think EU is ready in case there are higher taxes on these products to handle the illicit trade that might emerge and get bigger because of the higher taxation?
No, of course they're not ready, and they will fail resoundingly to do so. They're already failing resoundingly to do so, because these products are fairly straightforward to manufacture and fairly difficult to control. So the more that you increase the price and reduce the accessibility of the licit market, the more that you push demand into the illicit market. That's what happens when you ban pretty much anything, and that's what happens when you're banning this. So it's very difficult for me to see whether or not it's very, very, very difficult for me to see that there will be any particular benefit even to exchequers or finance departments through this, because a lot of the market will simply move into the illicit space. But there is one thing that we need to remember about this proposal that's important, is that for the first time, the EU is not only saying we would like member states to increase their taxation rates for these products, it's also saying we want 15% of the money raised from these products. So the EU will forevermore have a vested interest in continuing to ratchet up the tax take from these products, and that could mean even higher rates in the future.
Okay, and that might be kind of an answer to why is this all happening, because it's knowledge that these products are less risky and they're helping people to quit, yet putting higher taxes on them will not encourage people to switch for smoking. So this is not something that's done with an aim to decrease smoking rates per se, even if it's said that it's like a name generally. So let's see how it's going to work out. I also have
institutions would disagree with you on that. Of course, they would say that obviously the goal is to go for a smoke-free society, but the problem is they have to finance their operations somehow. The EU is asking for significantly more money over the next 5 years to cover the various strategic priorities in energy and in defense and so on and so forth. Usually, these are financed by contributions from the member states, but that puts the Commission at the mercy of the member states when setting its annual budget. What the Commission wants is what it calls own resources, i.e. funds that it has control over and that the member states can't take away from it. And that's where this all comes from.
Do you think it will also have an effect? We already talked about that it will affect negatively like consumers within the EU member states, but I also come from a country, for instance, which is a developing country outside of the EU. And usually the way the legislation used to be developed in this country was that most countries like this are looking up to what's happening in the EU. So do you think it will have an indirect effect, especially in low and middle income countries? Both we talked about within, but also beyond the EU.
So I believe you're from Georgia, right?
So, yes.
I can't speak to Georgia specifically, but certainly what you would see with candidate countries is that they would proactively seek to adopt EU norms across a number of different policy areas, because that then speeds up the rate at which it can integrate with the European Union when the Union finally does grant it membership. So there's an incentive for those countries that are candidate countries to not comply in the strictest sense of the word, but seek to align their regimes with those that the EU has, simply in order to speed up the potential accession rate. So you'll certainly see it in the Balkans, and you'd see it in Ukraine. So there is a risk to those countries as well. The other issue that you might see is the grey imports have to start somewhere, and they might very well start in peripheral countries in the EU, where I imagine that criminal organisations will see an opportunity in importing illicit products from China and then getting them through the porous borders into the EU market, from whence they can be transported anywhere. So there's a dual risk to those developing countries, not just from the increased taxation on safer products, but the increased risk of criminal organizations taking control of the illicit trade on the other side of the border.
Yes, that would be really sad to see if that would be like another.
I mean, it already happens with cigarettes, so it's not difficult to conclude that this might become an issue with safer products as well.
Yeah, I mean, especially those countries are usually they're stagnant high smoking rates, so if they're gonna be like putting a higher taxation on safer nicotine products, not observing their harm reduction benefits, they're most likely are gonna dive in into more of a restrictive approach without even trying out to let people quit smoking by having a choice and access to less risky alternatives. Okay, I know we're like short on time, so I just wanna wrap this up and maybe and on a more positive note for the consumers and THR advocates who are listening to us, and ask you if we can do something about it, and if so, what can we do to be effective?
So there is a long way to go before this gets over the line. The tax changes themselves and the possibility for the EU to use some of the money raised as its own resource has to be agreed unanimously by EU member states. We already know that Sweden is up in arms about the potential tax on pouches. That was to be expected. And it's probably why the Commission has gone so high to start with, so they've got room to negotiate down. The key thing, I think, is that consumers understand who they need to be directing their advocacy towards. It's not the Commission. I think we can all determine at this point that the Commission is largely a lost cause based on its public statements of disinformation. And so the remedy should be to write to and contact and mention on social media decision makers within the national administrations, all of whom have the power to block this or to make it significantly less painful for consumers. So that would be where I would direct your advocacy at the moment, based on whatever your national context is. If you're a national or indeed just a resident of an EU member state, you should be pointing this out to your member state government. When we update the tax calculator after the summer, we're trying to put in a tool that will allow you not only to determine what your additional cost is going to be per month, but then to generate messages that you can then send to your elected representatives or your government civil services. And we're hoping to have that live in September or October. There's plenty of time. This is not going to go quickly. This is going to take at least 18 months to 2 years to go through the system. But say you'll stall out early and keep in touch with your elected representatives through the channels we'll provide.
Okay, so we still have time to be loud about it. And definitely to everyone who's listening, just go check out the Clearing the Air page and check out the tax calculator. I checked it out myself and it was really cool actually to see how it works and how it affects.
And if you run a website, there's an embed code at the bottom of the calculator, so you can actually post the calculator on your website if you run a website that's dedicated to harm reduction advocacy or any other such thing. You can simply take the code snippet and put it directly onto your website.
Cool. We already did it with the World Dangerous Alliance website.
Guys.
Of course. So thank you very much, Peter, for this. And thank you, everyone who's listening now. We will be back with another episode. And meanwhile, as Peter said, please be loud. Please address the policymakers locally in within your countries and make sure to vape on and fight back. Thank you.